are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Detroit basketball!
Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. I am your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me on Twitter at Kuka Hill NBA. You can find me over on YouTube at Kuz Ballroom. You can find me over at Detroit Bad Boys writing articles about the Pistons. And like I tell you guys at the beginning of each podcast, I was a credentialed media member for the 2019-2020 season, which kind of makes me a big deal. No, just kidding. But on today's podcast, we're going to talk about more of the tanking thing with the final 10 games, and we're going to talk even more about how the Pistons are sitting so many players for their game against the Dallas Mavericks today. And then also, for the final two segments, we're going to talk about things you'd want to see from each one of the players who you assume are going to be in the rotation, no matter if they're trying to tank or not, like Killian, Isaiah Stewart, Sadiq Bey, Frank Jackson, Josh Jackson, etc. Those players, what you want to see from them in the final 10 games now that they're going to have more opportunity, if we're assuming the Pistons are going to go full tank. So first, we're going to talk about some of the tanking things. But before we do that, I don't know if any of you guys have gotten the vaccine, how many of you guys have. But if any of you guys have, did you guys feel, let me know on Twitter if you guys felt any type of way after the first shot. I'm recording right now. This is a day, as where I'm recording right now, I'm recording the night before the Dallas Mavericks game. And that's a day after I got my first vaccine shot for the Moderna. And my arm really hurts. And I'm not going to lie, I'm not feeling too smooth right now. I know you're not supposed to usually. I read that you're not usually supposed to get too many side effects after the first shot, but I'm not feeling too smooth, which kind of scares me for the second one because I heard that one's supposed to be the one where it, like, really hits you. But I'm not feeling too smooth for this podcast. I'm not feeling the best, but we're gonna make it the best we can. I'm gonna bring the best show I can for you guys today, and yeah, we're gonna continue that. So heading to the game against the Dallas Mavericks today. The Pistons are sitting a ton of their players. They're sitting Wayne Ellington, Jeremy Grant, Corey Joseph, Rodney Magruder, Mason Plumlee, and Dennis Smith Jr. All of them are out tomorrow, or today, against the Dallas Mavericks. So that kind of goes with what we were talking about in the last podcast about, do you believe that the Pistons should just go out and tank? Should they just start trying to lose these final 10 games? Like, how are they going to do it? I was saying that I think the best compromise they could do was what they did against the Atlanta Hawks last game. And that was, you know, we can't just sit the veterans, but we can cut their playing time. So we saw Jeremy Grant not even play 30 minutes. We saw Mason Plumlee get outplayed by, in minutes terms, by Isaiah Stewart. We saw Corey Joseph and Wayne Ellington see their minutes get cut. We saw the rookies finish out the entire fourth, or the rookies and sophomores finish out the entire fourth quarter. So I thought that was the compromise the team was going to make, because for a Dwayne Casey team, I didn't see a future where Dwayne Casey would just say, screw it, we're going to bench everybody, and we're going to just straight up try to tank these final 10 games because it's what's best for the team. And I don't know if you guys saw the article released yesterday by James Edwards of The Athletic, but he basically talked about what should the Pistons do these final 10 games. And from what I saw, I wasn't able to read it because I don't have an Athletic subscription, but from what I saw him talking about on Twitter after he wrote it and all the feedback he was getting, it sounded like he was in the camp of they should just lose these games and just commit to this tank. And it seems like that they're doing it for at least tomorrow. And it's kind of confusing because Dwayne Casey, as they're saying that these players are out, he puts out this quote saying, so Omari Sankofa of the Detroit Free Press, puts out this quote. It says, Dwayne Casey on the narrative that teams should lose games for lottery position. It says, that's the worst thing with sports media. I know it's popular, but it's probably the worst thing for basketball NFL players to read that. He says, Casey added that it's great for fans, it should be great for fans, but players, coaches, and GMs can't put stock into it. Which is kind of like, if you're not putting stock into it, then why are you sitting all your veterans in this game then? If you weren't putting any stock into the whole, oh, we got to lose, we can't just win meaningless games to take us higher in this, or lower, I should say, in the draft lottery, why are you sitting your players then? So I think that's kind of contradictory, to be honest. I don't really get why he said that. I mean, I know coaches probably don't like it, but I feel like him saying that, oh, coaches and GMs don't put stock into it, I think that's a flat out lie, because obviously they are putting stock into it due to them sitting these players against the Mavs. But moving forward in these final 10 games, I don't know if we're going to continue to see that. Like I said, even though they're doing it for today's game against the Mavs, I'm going to stay where I said in the last podcast that I just don't believe that the Pistons are going to end up just sitting their veterans, sitting all their guys like Jeremy Grant and Mason Plumlee. I just can't see that happening. Like, yeah, they're doing it today, but do you really think that they're going to just tell Jeremy Grant, hey, you can't play for the next 10 games. We're just going to sit you, send you home, or have you sit on the bench for the next 10 games. I just don't see them. I don't see Jeremy Grant accepting that, really, and I don't see the team really doing that. Same thing with Mason Plumlee. Maybe for Rodney, obviously for Rodney Magruder and maybe Dennis Smith, because he's been dealing with injury as well. Although I don't think Dennis Smith Jr. really is hurting the tank if you play him. But Wayne Ellington as well, I could see them possibly just not playing him because he's been in and out of the rotation. It's kind of confusing to me why he got so many minutes last game in the first place, because sometimes he's in the rotation, sometimes he didn't. So I don't know why it really makes sense to play him now. But I just don't see them telling Jeremy Grant and Mason Plumlee, hey, you guys aren't playing the final 10 games. So I know a lot of you guys, I saw a lot of you guys on Twitter getting excited about this and like, oh yeah, we're accepting the tanks. Pistons are going full blown tank mode. They're going for the draft pick. I don't think that they're going to continue to do this all 10 games. Maybe a few games here and there. They might sit Mason Plumlee and Jeremy Grant, but I like I said, I think they're going to continue. The best thing you're going to see is like they're going to cut their minutes severely and then try to like close out with younger guys. Maybe take them out of the game earlier in the rotations, like instead of Jeremy Grant playing entire quarters, maybe he comes out a couple minutes earlier and they play Sekou or Tyler Cook or anybody. Or like they did last game with Mason Plumlee, just cut his minutes completely to like 20-19 minutes and just have Isaiah Stewart play a large chunk of minutes. I think that's the best you're going to get. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a fun game tomorrow against the Dallas Mavericks. I think you guys are obviously going – or today – I think you guys are obviously going to love it. We're probably going to see a mixture, I'm going to guess, of Killian Hayes, Josh Jackson, Sadiq Bey, Sekou, and Isaiah Stewart. That's going to be my prediction for the starting lineup. So if that is the starting lineup, you guys can go ahead and say that I'm right on Twitter. If I wasn't, you guys can also make fun of me and tell me I was wrong. But that's why I think the starting lineup is going to be tomorrow, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to get into this later on in the podcast. I'm going to give what – if they were to go this route of just like sitting a bunch of their players a lot of the time – for these final 10 games, we're going to get into it later in the podcast about what we would want to see from these players. They're going to have an extended opportunity in these final 10 games. But for just tomorrow, I think it's going to be a fun game to watch for specifically Killian and Sekou for me. Because Frank Jackson, I feel like he's like secured what he's going to be about. Isaiah Stewart, I think we pretty much know, right? I don't think there's really – I mean, like I said, I don't want to spoil it too much, actually. I'm not going to spoil the second segment. So – actually, I'm not going to talk about that. We're going to get into our first sponsor, and then we'll talk about what I was just going to talk about. So, yeah, let me tell you about one of our sponsors, Rock Auto. If you ever need a part for your car, head to the store, go through a ton of confusing questioning, just for one of the workers to tell you they don't have the part that you're looking for. I know I have. That's why you should avoid all these problems and rock it with another one of our sponsors, rockauto.com. Find whatever part you're looking for on your computer or in your hand on your phone by using rockauto.com. Don't worry about having to create an account or making a membership, going through that strenuous process. Just head over to rockauto.com and start shopping. Rockauto.com always offers the lowest, the most reliable prices. Head over to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box. They know that we sent you. Once again, make sure you write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that Locked On sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. So from here on out in the rest of this podcast, we're going to talk about what to expect or what to look forward to or what to want out of these players, I should say, for these final 10 games, the ones that you should figure if the Pistons do go down the route of just basically sitting a bunch of their vets multiple games down the stretch, which, like I said, I'm not sure they actually do that. I still think they just cut minutes and play their young guys more. Either way, these players are going to have more opportunity to do things that they can do, try and develop, and basically just get more opportunity to play more. And so we're going to talk about what you would want to see from these guys with this opportunity. So first, we can talk about Killian Hayes. Killian Hayes, I think the main thing I want to see out of Killian in this expanded opportunity that he figures to have in these final 10 games is I don't care how good he shoots from the floor. I don't care how good he shoots from three. I don't care how good he shoots on his runners or his pull-up middies or at the rim. I don't care how well he shoots on it. But I need him to please start shooting the ball. I just need him to be aggressive and to like actually shoot the damn ball, please. Killian has been showing tremendous passing. He obviously has great vision. He obviously sees the floor really well. But like I talked about a few podcasts ago, Killian, and like I said, it's only 17 games, so obviously this is not me saying this is how he's going to be. This is just me saying this is where he's at right now. He's at this stage right now that Lonzo Ball was at, where you have to move. Where they had to move Lonzo off ball because he simply didn't put enough pressure on the rim and from the three-point line. Because one, he wouldn't try to drive to the rim. And when he did try to drive to the rim, he couldn't finish or just chose not to try to finish. And then from deep, he just wasn't shooting very well from deep at all, so he couldn't bend the defense. Therefore, no matter how good of a passer you are, no matter what great vision you got, if you can't bend a defense, there's going to be no passing lanes. You're going to have high turnover rates, which Killian is averaging 2.8 turnovers to 4.4 assists, which is under a 2-to-1 ratio in that category. So he's turned the ball over a lot for the usage he has, and that has a lot to do with it, I think. So it comes down to two things. One, obviously he's not a great shooter right now, so that hurts him. But I think the main thing is that a lot of his turnovers come where he's looking to pass and not looking to score in situations where he just should be looking to score. Like, there's been a few times in this last game against Atlanta Hawks before the fourth quarter, which he did turn it up in the fourth quarter a little bit. But before the fourth quarter, there's a few times he tried forcing lob passes, or he just threw it to like someone in the corner because he got stuck in the air, where he easily could have just like shot a pull-up midi, or he could have shot a runner, or at least try to attack the rim, or like do a sweeping hook or whatever. Like, you could have just went for a layup, like anything. He could have shot the ball multiple times. He had 2 feet in the paint so many times in this Atlanta Hawks game, and he just like didn't shoot the ball. And it's extremely frustrating to watch, specifically because of this. And there's been multiple games that since he's returned that he's actually shot the ball in this scenario, like in those situations. He has shown us that he can do it. Like, he doesn't make it all the time, and there's going to be a development for him, but he's shown that he can make that space and shoot those middies, or he knows that he has to shoot those middies, or he knows he has to attack the basket sometimes, be more aggressive trying to do that thing. We've seen it from him in spurts already since he's came back. So when he just goes through these little stretches where he just refuses to shoot the ball, like no matter what is like the defense is giving him, like there was one specific play, bro, where he was literally, I swear, I kid you not, I feel like he was like 3 feet away from the rim, in front of the rim. And he easily could have probably just laid the ball up. I think he could have easily just went with a right-hand layup. I know he's not strong with his right hand, but I really think he probably could have just laid it over the rim and with no contest at all. And he decided to, like, try to force a lob pass to Isaiah Stewart and turn the ball over. Like, those kind of plays just can't happen no more. Like, I don't care if you – like I said at the beginning of this talk, I don't care if he misses them. I don't care how well he shoots on them. But he needs to shoot them. That's the main thing you want to see from Killian down the stretch. Everything else, I think, is going to come along – but the aggressiveness, I need to see him continue to be aggressive and shoot the ball. Not specific shots, just shoot the damn ball, please. And specifically, actually, when you get 2 feet in the paint. When you get 2 feet in the paint, please shoot it. Just shoot the ball. There was one play he had a few games ago where I don't think it was the Hawks game. I think it was the game before that. He drove to the rim. He got to defend the big man, attended on him. And instead of like trying to force a tough pass that probably would have been a turnover, he smartly realized that if he just gets this ball up on the glass, if he misses it, Isaiah Stewart's going to have an easy offensive rebound, just dunk the ball. Which, that's not going to pop up in the box score, and yes, it's going to say, oh, bad field goal percentage or blah, blah, blah. But if you're watching the games, that's basically an assist. And he can do a lot of that if he just shoots the damn ball. And on that play, that's exactly what happened. He went to the rim, he got the defender to come to him, the big man. He shot it off the glasses, got quickly on the glass. He missed it, but Isaiah Stewart had an easy offensive rebound putback dunk. And that's the kind of thing that can happen if you just dead-ass shoot the ball. Just shoot. But that's what I'm looking from Killian. Just please shoot the ball, man. Next, we're going to talk about Sekou. I know you guys probably think we should talk about someone else first. You guys may be interested in someone else, but Sekou's who I'm more interested in. You guys know that. You guys know I'm a big Sekou guy. So what I'm looking from Sekou down the stretch is kind of the same thing with Killian Hayes. I don't care how well he shoots from deep. I don't care how well he shoots from two-point range. I don't care how well he shoots from at the rim. I don't care about any of that. I want you to continue to just please be aggressive doing what you're doing. I've pointed out multiple times about Sekou on this podcast the last week and a half, that Sekou, when he puts his head down recently over this last stretch he's been playing, when he puts his head down to go to the rim, he hasn't been stopped from getting to the paint. Now, he may get blocked once he gets there, He may not score when he gets there, but he's getting there, which is a big thing. That's the toughest part about it. If you listen to announcers, you talk to a lot of basketball players. Like I just got done hooping today when I'm recording this. The toughest thing by far of all these, when you're playing the game of offense and you're trying to get to the rim, the toughest thing by far is trying to get there. Because it's hard. You have to put moves down. You have to beat your guy. You have to take contact. You have to get there. That's the toughest part. Once you get to the rim, that's the easier part to develop. Just finishing there or getting a foul. That's the easier part. But it's harder to get there. And Sekou's been getting to the paint. He's been getting 2 feet in the paint. He's had a few nice driving kicks that have resulted in buckets, which is really encouraging. I believe the last game he played, he had three or four assists, all off driving kicks, which were really good. So I want him to continue driving to the rim and be aggressive. I want him to be aggressive with his three-point shot. And more importantly, this last game against Atlanta Hawks, I think, was easily his best defensive game of the season. He was aggressive. He was really bugging the hell out of Danilo Gallinari. He was bugging the hell out of him. Off ball, he was doing pretty good. But on ball, he was just stiffing all kinds of people. I saw somebody tweet a clip on Twitter of the Isaiah Stewart block on Chris Dunn. And they were like, Isaiah Stewart did his block. Oh, look at Ben Wallace out there. Look at him. He's, so inspirational. All that stuff. But, everyone just ignored the fact that Sekou basically stayed in front of a point guard. While Chris Dunn's not like Steph Curry or anything, he's staying with the point guard, who's a pretty athletic. And let's keep it a buck. He's pretty much a four. Sekou's pretty much a four. He can play the three, but he's a four. And he stayed with Chris Dunn, forced a bad shot, stayed in front of him the entire way, and forced a block at the rim. The reason why that was a block at the rim is because Sekou shut the guy down and gave him no room to do anything. But no one was talking about that. I wonder why. But either way, I just want to see Sekou continue to be aggressive, like I said. That's the main thing for him. Again, I don't care what he shoots from the floor. I don't care. Just be aggressive, man. Continue to be aggressive. And then heading into the offseason, you can work on the finishing part. If you're able to get to the rim and you're able to get the shots that you want, then you can head into the offseason and be like, okay, now I just need to focus on making these shots. I have what I need to get to this place. I have what I need to get to this spot. I just need to continue to work on finishing the move, because the move itself is the harder part. And I think Sekou's doing a really good job of finishing that move and getting to the rim. He just needs to start working on finishing. But for the remainder of the offseason, continue to be aggressive and earn your minutes, please, because I really don't want to see you get DMP'd in the final 10 games, even though you probably may get DMP'd simply because it doesn't seem like they like you very much, Sekou. But anyways, when we come back, I'll talk a little bit more about some of the other guys, what I want to see from them. Isaiah Stewart, Sadiq Bey, Frank Jackson, Josh Jackson. Before all of that, let me tell you about another one of our sponsors, BetOnline AG. Betting is now legal in Michigan, and if you're anything like me, you want to take advantage of that instantly. However, there was one problem I ran into. There's just so many different apps to bet through. Which betting app is the best to use? Which one is the best for me? That's when I found BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. The NFL season might be over, but the NBA, NHL, and MLB are now in full swing. If you want to take your adventures beyond sports, however, BetOnline has you covered there too. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, reality TV, things I didn't even know you could bet on. BetOnline has real-time updated odds and props on just about anything you can imagine. BetOnline is the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to BetOnline now to sign up and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, and make sure to use promo code LOCKEDON. Again, head over to BetOnline now to sign up and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, and make sure you use promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So we're going to continue to talk about some of the players who are going to have more opportunity in these final 10 games if the Pistons do go the tank route and continue to open up minutes for these guys. We already talked about Killian and Sekou in the last segment. We're going to talk about Isaiah Stewart next. From Isaiah Stewart, what I want to see from him during these final 10 games, I think he's been playing really well, obviously, throughout the year. And he doesn't really have the same issue as the ones I was pointing out with Killian and Sekou, to stay aggressive. I don't need to say, hey, Stewart, just stay aggressive, because that's what he's made off of. Sometimes you need to tell him to not be as aggressive. That's his problem. But what I want to see from Isaiah Stewart during these 10 games, what I want to see, again, you guys may want something different, but this is something I want to see from him, and that's shoot more threes. I think that's just something I want to see from him, because he's shown the ability to make them, and there was a stretch earlier in the season, or maybe a month ago, when he was shooting, one and a half threes a game, and he was making 40% of them, and recently he's just stopped shooting them. I don't know why. There's been opportunities where he's been open and been given the there's been too many times where defenders have just completely ignored him, and like are sitting in the paint as if they're going Andre Drummond out there. And I think that he should make them pay for that kind of thing. He needs to start shooting more of them. So like over the last five games, he's only shot three threes, and all of them came in one game. So in the last five games, he's only shot three in one of the games. That's a better way of putting it. So four out of the last five games, he didn't even attempt a three. And I think I just want to see more of that from him, because it looks like that he can make it. He showed us that he can make these threes when he's open and make the defender pay when they sag off. And so like on the season, he's shooting 41%, 41.9%, so basically 42% on only 0.5 attempts. Like I want to see him shoot like maybe two threes a game. Just like if the defense is going to sag off you and like stay in the paint as if you're Rudy Gobert or something, shoot the ball. Just shoot the three. I'd like to see you can hit it. You've shown us you can hit it. Just get your volume up a little bit. With more opportunity, you have your opportunity to be able to get in the paint and do your thing down there, get your boards and finish around the paint. But if the guys are just going to, like I said, if they're just going to sag off, you got more opportunity these final 10 games. You're going to play more. So you're not wasting opportunity. You're not like wasting possessions like, oh, God, I just shot three. I'm not going to touch the ball again. I'm about to be taken out a minute later. No, you're going to have your minutes. So shoot some threes. Just get some more threes up. That's what I'd like to see from Isaiah Stewart. He can make them. Just get more volume up. For Sadiq Bey, what I'd like to see from Sadiq Bey, I think he's hit the rookie wall, I think, over the last few games. He's played a ton of minutes this season as a rookie, at least. Like a little bit more than you'd want from your rookie. Or not want, but maybe expected from him before the season. Like, he's played a ton of minutes. And he's starting to wear down. Over the last four games, he's shooting 28% from the field, 33% from deep. Which is both way below his season averages. So basically what I want to see from Sadiq is just him get back on track. I don't need to see like anything else from him, nothing specific. Like there's obviously maybe finishing around the rim, like stuff you want him to work on the offseason. But really to close the season out, all you need to see from him is just, or not even need, just something you'd like to see from him is just get back on track, knock off this rookie wall, get through the wall, and push through it before the season ends. You want him to head into the offseason on a good note, because he's had a really good season. And hopefully you want him to head into that offseason on a high note. And I think that if you end the season like stuck at that rookie wall, it can kind of put like a sour taste in your mouth heading into the offseason. You don't really want that for someone specifically like Sadiq Bey, who's really had a great year for the Pistons as a rookie. So that's my main thing for Sadiq Bey. Just get through this rookie wall, get back to playing your game, get back to shooting like 40% from deep, and there you go. I think you can head into the offseason on a good note and work on your finishing around the rim. Then you can do that. But that's all I want from Sadiq. From Frank Jackson, what I want from Frank Jackson in these final 10 games is continue to take advantage of your opportunity. He's been absolutely, I've said it multiple times on this podcast. Everyone on Twitter is talking about him now. I believe he just had an article written about him by somebody. I forget who it was. But he's been absolutely balling for like a while now. For like the last month and a half, I should say. And he's really solidified himself, I believe, as part of the Pistons' young core moving forward. Maybe not like a main piece. Like no one's saying that he's going to be like a franchise kind of guy or something. But I really do think he's probably solidified himself as like a key bench piece for this team moving forward. I think the Pistons will re-sign him in the offseason instantly. And all I want to see from him is continue to be aggressive, continue to be fun, and continue to play well. Really, that's like, it's as simple as that for Frank Jackson. There's no like little tiny things I need to see from him, like playmaking or anything. I think what we've seen from Frank is that we know what his role is going to be in this NBA. Like, yeah, is there things he needs to work on? Like, yeah, he maybe should become a better playmaker. He can maybe play better defense. But I think that you know what his role is about to be for the rest of his career. He's going to be an instant scorer off the bench. Like, he's one of those guys who just comes in, I'm putting the ball in the bucket. That's what I'm here to do. That's what I'm going to do. Like, don't ask me to make these passes. Don't expect me to come out here and like drop six assists or anything. Like, I'm coming out here, I'm scoring the ball, whoever's guarding me, get out my way, I'm just going to put this ball in the hoop. So basically all you want to see from him is to continue to do that, continue to make the most of your opportunity. And I think all these things will play out well for him in the offseason if he just continues to do that. What you don't want to do if you're Frank Jackson is play how you've played so far and make this good impression, and then these final 10 games just wilt under the pressure, and then make everyone forget about this stretch right here. Because that's what people will do. If he plays bad, like the final 10 games, for example, everyone knows that fans have short-term memory loss. They're just going to instantly, oh, this man's trash, blah, blah, get him out of here. And then also as a player, like I said, this with Sadiq, I've said this with Killian, Sekou. It's the same thing with every player. You always want to head into the offseason on a high note. You don't want to go into the offseason with a sour taste in your mouth. So specifically, even for a guy like Frank Jackson, who's played so well up to this point, these final 10 games, you don't want to ruin that. You want to continue to flow. You want to continue to ride this wave that you're on into the offseason and feel good about yourself heading there. So that's all I need to see from Frank Jackson. Continue to take advantage of this opportunity you have been given. And he'll be straight. I think he'll be back on the Pistons next year and for years beyond that as well. We're getting around 25 and a half minutes here, so I'm going to go fast with these last two I have. There's not really much to say about them, but we're going to go a little faster with these. So, like, Josh Jackson, all I need to see from him is continue to be aggressive scoring the ball. He's going to be, if these players sit out, if they start sitting Jeremy Grant, for example, Josh Jackson's going to continue to be, like, their main option out there on offense, and he's done really well for that. One of these podcasts soon, over, like, the next week or so, I think, I'm going to spend talking about Josh Jackson and how he's played as of late, because he's been really good, and there's already been multiple games where he's had to come in and be, like, the main option for the Pistons because Jeremy Grant's out or someone else is injured, or he gets put into the starting lineup, he just takes advantage of it. So I'd like to see Josh continue to be aggressive, trying to score. And actually, there's one thing. Actually, you know what? There's one thing I actually would like to see Josh improve on this final 10 games if he's given this extra opportunity in the starting lineup. Make better decisions with the ball in your hands. Like, we know that you can get to the rim, you can draw fouls, and you can make some insane finishes. However, something I pointed out in a video from a few months ago I made on Josh Jackson when he was lighting it up at the beginning of the season, one thing that he needs to improve on is the fact he needs to make better decisions with the ball in his hands. Like, sometimes you shouldn't go up with this ball. Sometimes you shouldn't go up with this layup. Like I was saying to Killian, shoot the damn ball. Josh Jackson, sometimes you don't have to shoot the damn ball. Sometimes there's guys open and you can drive and kick. If you can learn how to drive and kick and use your scoring and your driving ability to leverage the defense and make great passes and get other guys open shots, that can be a great addition, I should say, to your game. And Dwayne Casey's talked about that a little bit with him as well, that decision-making is like his big thing. Like, when he's making good decisions with the ball, he has a great game. But when he's forcing shots, taking bad shots, tough shots for him, he's not going to shoot well from the field, and he's also missing guys open. So, final 10 games, I like to see him make better decisions with the ball and realize that, hey, I can utilize my scoring ability, my driving ability to create shots for others. So I'd like to see that, especially because he's going to have a bigger opportunity and a bigger role in the offense now that it seems like they're going to sit a lot of their veterans a couple of these games. So that's what I'd like to see from Josh Jackson. And then Hamidou Diallo. So Hamidou Diallo, what I want to see from him, this one kind of goes with Dwayne Casey. So actually, this is what I want to see from Hamidou Diallo and Dwayne Casey. Dwayne Casey, please do not play him with Saben Lee, Jahlil Okafor, and Tyler Cook. Like, that's all I need to see from you, man. Just don't sabotage him like that, because he's not going to play well with that. There is no way in living hell you can expect him to play well with that lineup out there. He's just not going to be able to. There's no shooting. Everyone's going to be in the paint, and what he likes to do is get to the paint. And if everyone's sitting there, there's going to be no way in hell he can finish. So that's all I want to see from you, Dwayne. Just don't screw Hamidou Diallo over with the lineups you play him in. And then Hamidou Diallo, all I need to see from you is play through continue to play well, build off this last game against Atlanta, and get through that rough stretch. Like, show us that last game wasn't just a fluke, that you're actually breaking through this rough stretch that you were having, and that there's a reason why the Pistons traded Svee Mykhai Luke for you. Continue to do that. Play well. Attack the rim like you've been. Attack the rim strong like you've been. And I think everything will work out for you. I think as long as he gets played with the right lineups that have adequate spacing, like, the Pistons don't have great spacing to begin with, but as long as he's played with, like, adequate spacing where it, like, at least makes some kind of sense, like, why he's out there, I think he'll be fine. Just continue to be aggressive, do your thing, get to the rim, draw fouls, and show the Pistons fans why they traded Svee for you and why they're likely to re-sign you this offseason and why I believe you are a pretty big piece for the young core. I think he has tremendous potential. Just fight through this rough stretch you had and prove to us that this last game against the Hawks was not a fluke and you're actually back on track and you're going to close the season strong. So that's all I've really got for you guys today. I'm sorry if I didn't sound as enthusiastic or as loud or as fun as I usually do. Like I said, this shot really has me, like, really tired and just not feeling the best right now. So I did the best I could. I tried to give you guys an entertaining show, talk about some things I know you guys are interested in, this young guy development and the tanking that's going, it seems like it's going on. I know you guys are happy about that. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. Hope you guys had fun listening to this podcast. And I'm not going to tell you guys what we have planned for Friday, the Kool-Aid segment, but I can tell you guys this. It's not going to be the normal Kool-Aid segment. It's going to be something different with this one. It's going to be a lot of fun. Stay tuned. You guys are going to like it. But Until then, I'll see you guys later. Enjoy this Dallas Mavericks game tonight, and I'll see you guys later. Peace out.